Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College football fans, the College Ball Show is back. I'm Marshall. He's Chris. I'm going to do that. I'm Marshall. He's Chris. I'm Chris. He's Marshall. It really doesn't matter. I got a little distracted because my cat jumped right over me. Once again, it's like they find new hiding spots once a month. It's really crazy. Totally distracting. But anyway, we are back live on the show. The College Ball Show is back. We weren't able to do it earlier in the week, but we're back in just in time, right? Just in time. Obviously, we're going to start the show talking about week four and what a week it was for college football. Week four had, you know, saw several major upsets in the top 25, highlighted by Old Dominion's comeback in the fourth quarter to beat Virginia Tech. There was, several tight games amongst the top tier games. We got a lot to talk about. I'm just kind of browsing through some other games that were very, very close. If you look at the Oklahoma game, that was really close. Really, really close. They had to go to overtime to get the job done. Texas was able to knock off TCU. We'll go down the list, of all the games. No doubt about it, recapping week four. Then we're going to preview, debate, and predict all the marquee matchups in some of the games flying under the radar. We'll also talk some betting lines as well. But when you look at it, I think there's five ranked versus ranked this week. We're just finishing September. And here we are with so many important games. If you look at Ohio State, 2 weeks ago just played TCU. Stanford, this is like their third tough matchup on paper anyway, heading into it, in September. Like, it's pretty crazy what kind of schedule we got going here. But just to name a few, number four, Ohio State against number nine, Penn State. Number seven, Stanford versus number eight, Notre Dame. Ranked versus ranked, West Virginia, Texas, Washington, BYU, Oregon, California. So we got plenty to talk about on that range. So we're going to get into it just a moment. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, we talk college football, whether it's recap, whether it's predictions, whether it's banter, whether it's betting lines, all the way to the national championship, okay? We take it all the way to mid-January. Hey, if you like college basketball, that's why it's called the College Basket or College Ball Show. Then in January, we go to college basketball, take that to the NBA playoffs, all the way to the finals, all the way to free agency. But that's so far off, we're not even thinking about that. We're 100% focused on college football all the way to January on a weekly basis. So if this is your first time listening or you haven't listened to it in a while, the College Ball Show is under the umbrella of the Rope-A-Dope Radio podcast. It streams live right here at blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. It's basically the headquarters. You can also, find it at iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, and that's available everywhere as well, including streaming it on Spotify or iHeartRadio. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got football, basketball, baseball, boxing, everything in between. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. Read an article. Maybe listen to a pod. And while you're at it, place a bet right there. MyBookie.ag. So like I said, tons to talk about coming up. No doubt about it for week five. But we're going to run through several games and several items of note from week four. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host right now just to say what's going on. What's up, buddy? How you doing, Marshall? Or Chris, I should say.
Yeah, well, we switched lanes today. You know, whatever. We can make work. I'm good, man. It's an easy day of school. Got an easy day tomorrow. Got the Ryder Cup for a little golf, too. I mean, it should be a good day. It's a good day, good weekend coming up. There we go.
Yeah, there we have it. And we have the Vikings game coming up in about an hour and a half, give or take. So we're excited, to say the least. Just kind of browsing through some of these games. Bama took care of Texas A&M 45-23. However, they did sneak under the Aggies, under that 26-point favorite. So if you listened to us last week, you got it in. Oklahoma, like I mentioned, struggled with Army. Now, Army is actually a pretty good club. They're a little underrated. They run a system that can be tough at times, but it took to overtime, 28-21. They missed a field goal right at the end that would have won the game right there. A couple other games of note. Washington held off the scrappy Arizona State Sun Devils. West Virginia is looking damn good behind their Heisman candidate quarterback. 35-6 took care of business at home. Here's one, the upset of the week, or the point spread of the week. This is the second time now I've used Kentucky for the point spread, or I did use them for one upset too. Kentucky got the job done 28-7 against, at the time, number 14 Mississippi State. Another ranked team goes down. I think there were six in total, maybe seven. I can't remember the top 25. Texas Tech wallops, and I'm talking about wallops, Oklahoma State, who is just coming off a quality win over Boise State, 41-17. And you know what? They're actually playing a little defense here, only holding that team to 17 points when we know they can score. That's big. TCU falls again, this time to Texas, 31-16. Wisconsin manages, finds a way not to lose in Des Moines, Iowa, at night, which is not that easy to do. 28-17, they get the job done. My squad in Miami got the job done as well, 31-17. However, there is a little talk about the quarterback, which is actually positive. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then a shocker, really. I mean, Boston College last week being 23, who really knows about that ranking? But what I do know is Purdue's look like shit. And we even talked about this last week or the week before. Basically, we talked about Purdue and a couple other Big Ten teams. Northwestern comes to mind. Nebraska comes to mind as struggling Big Ten teams so far this year. Purdue looked like they were on the up and up. Now, how high will they go? We don't know. I'm not saying that they're going to be the next great program in the Big Ten or nothing like that. But they look like the team we thought they'd look like, I guess you could say. Purdue gets the, you know, gets a big win at home, 30-13. And we'll talk about a couple other games. But, of course, we got to go with the game of the week because it was ranked versus ranked. Quality stuff here. Stanford comes back from a large, large deficit to beat Raleigh in overtime, to beat Oregon on the road, 38-31. Marshall, I'm going to go to you first here. I'll back it up with some stats and numbers and all that, but what the hell happened to the Oregon Ducks, it's not like they only had a lead in the first quarter, quarter and a half. I mean, they had control of this game deep into this game, man.
I think we saw, like, a great performance from them for the most part of the game, team that was, like, struggling with San Jose State. So maybe the coach went, like, vanilla with the playbook, was like, I don't want to show anything. But, I mean, they, you know, people are all of a sudden in love with this Oregon quarterback. His stats were garbage to start off the year. And now after this week, everyone's, you know, kind of like, oh, dude, Herbert, he's good. And so I think you saw maybe a motivated Oregon team that you had not seen yet. They were playing good football. But I think that halftime score is a little bit deceiving because, for the most part, Stanford never really does get ran out of games. And for what we've seen from this year, I thought they were probably the better team. And I think they kind of turned it on. And then you saw just a complete mental lapse. These happen all the time. They happen to shit. They happen in the NFL, too. There's, for as much as these coaches get paid, a lot of the times clock management's not good. And if you're Oregon, you have no reason to be extending your arm out for, like, a first down. I mean, just clock management was sad. They could have kneeled the ball and won. Or did a dive up the middle, protecting the ball. Part of it's the coach. Part of it's, like, if you're running back, why are you reaching out with the ball? Like, that's just, you're giving the defense a chance. And as a defensive player, Chris, at the end of the game, if you know it's your job to strip the ball and get a fumble to give your offense a chance, the second that guy pops his hand out, dude, you're trying that thing like you're a boxer. So it was just a massive mental breakdown, which cost them the game. Because then, of course, Stanford gets the ball. They're able to tie up the score. Next thing you know, game goes in, you know, overtime, and Oregon wins, or excuse me, Stanford wins. It was a meltdown that was poor. They're talking about how ESPN, they do those kind of like line graph charts of probability of winning. And at 2 points in that game, Oregon had almost 100% chance of winning the game. And they lost today. So, or, you know,
yeah,
99%. Yeah.
99% they had a chance to win, you know, when they're going for that rushing TD and it got turned over. That was a key play. Because when he went around that edge and he hit his foot on the pylon, but the ball was behind.
That too.
You know, behind the play. That was huge too, because the next play or the two plays after that, something like that, fumble, 80-yard return touchdown off Stanford's D, and that got him into the game originally beyond what you're talking about too with not protecting the ball in the closing moments.
Yeah, it was just if you're a coach and you see your team had a 99% chance to win the game, you know, and you've not been there, you'd be like, oh, we must have won. No, you didn't. So and I'm sure we'll see throughout this year. It's just, you know, a poor decision. It cost your team. And you know, and normally I was listening to go that way, Chris, where the team that does have that lead, you know, the overtime momentum was all Stanford, you know, at that point. If you're Oregon, you're kind of like probably on the back of your heels, like, oh my God, what did we just do? And you know, Stanford comes out and scores a really nice, actually, a very creative, athletic touchdown. The Stanford quarterback threw the ball to their wide tight end, who tipped it to himself. You normally don't see that happen much in baseball.
Yeah, that was a beautiful touch in football.
Yeah, the ball was thrown in between him and a defender in a way where he couldn't put both hands on it, so he tipped it in the air to himself a couple of feet past the defender for a really nice catch. So clearly, I'd heard on the calling of the game that they're high on both of the tight ends for Stanford, and just from that play alone, like, that's a move that you don't see often, to have the hand-eye coordination and the agility to pull that off. So a nice one by Stanford, and man, that's a game you're going to be, you know, kicking yourself about for Oregon. Like, you finally have your big matchup, you're at home, you got your foot in their throat, and then you let them come back, make a couple mistakes, next thing you know, you got a loss. So it changes kind of the whole mood of how you start off your season in conference play.
Yeah, it really does. And that was just, I mean, to be up like that, to be driving, like I said, the pylon thing, where he hit his foot on the pylon, so they're out at like the 1 or 2 yard line to turn around a couple plays later and have that snap, that high snap that the quarterback Hubert couldn't get on, picked it up 80 yards. But like you said, I mean, there wasn't much time on the clock, like a 1:35. Some people thought they could have just kind of put a knee down and tried to, you know, just figure it out that way. But they go 45 yards after the fumble, 45 yards and 45 seconds just to get into overtime. And like you said, the momentum was all there. I mean, the Ducks and Justin, Herbert, he played great. So did the Ducks for a huge part of this. And like you said, I mean, at that moment, it was a 99% win, like win factor. It was just, it's crazy, man. I still can't believe it happened. However, about the quarterback, and you say, I think you said he really hadn't done much in early season. I mean, he threw for 309 and 3 touchdowns in his last game, the game before. 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns the game before that, at least totaling. I don't know if he threw them all now that I look at it, but I don't know about he wasn't putting up numbers before this game because those look like pretty damn good numbers to me. But here's the crazy thing. Love, you know, had a pretty good game considering it was his first game back in a while, too. I guess he got vision, but 71 yards as well, rushing, you know, compared to a 178, and most of it was Verdell. He had a good game as well. It's crazy that it went this way. I mean, to gain 100 more yards, to have 11 more minutes in time of possession, like if the Ducks were ever going to beat Stanford at home, well, this would have been the time. And what did this do for Stanford in general? Is it too much of a high, Marshall? Is it too much of a high now? And they've been in, like I said, several big-time games, conference games already. Is this too much too soon in September with the fact that they got to play Notre Dame next week? How do you think these kids are going to handle this? They got a veteran coach who really finds a way to get the best out of his players and recruiting because he doesn't get that top 15 class. Can there be a hangover here with these young fellers coming into this week?
It is hard to constantly get up for such big games. And as you said, besides maybe LSU and Auburn, that their schedule's one of the tougher ones in the country. And you've already played USC and Oregon. I mean, it's tough to maintain that and not have that one off game. I mean, that's even tough in the NFL to be a consistent team coming off a high win. So when you go back down to the level of college kids, I don't know. You have a quarterback you trust. You have arguably the best running back in the country. And I think that he's still, you know, I don't think he hasn't really completely broken out yet. So I think you maybe utilize Love a little more or make it a little more efficient. So, and defensively, sure, they're always good. You almost never see a poorly coached defensive Stanford team. I guess maybe they got shook a little bit by Oregon throughout the game, but you know, on the road, that's a tough stadium to play at, you know, but they're about as fundamental as you can get. I don't know if they can run the table, but I would pick them to be as successful by anyone else. Because for all the years we've done this show, one thing we almost never talk about is Stanford just getting smacked in a big game. They've lost.
Yeah.
USC beat them last year a couple times. And it is what it is. No team is perfect undefeated every year. But Stanford is just always a gritty, well-coached team. They don't make the dumb penalties. They only have a couple of guys who are always going to the pros on offense, and they just get the job done. Notre Dame, yeah, but even then they're still battling for more games in the Pac-12. So it's a piece of the schedule, but that win could maybe it's something you could ride off of for great energy that win, Chris, or it could maybe, as you said, make you a little too overconfident and then kind of catch you from behind. But I guess to wrap this up, maybe sometimes as a coach, it is nice to kind of go on the opposite angle of always having a big game because it doesn't really let your players get too comfortable. You know, it, sometimes in college, it's you win a big game, then you play kind of a no-name team, and then you kind of have a mental breakdown. They can't really have a mental breakdown because their schedule so far has really let them, you know, catch their breath. So I guess it's kind of all about how you spin it as a coaching staff and what you do to keep the kids, you know, intrigued and interested in the next upcoming game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, just to walk in there and think that talent is going to rule like the Minnesota Vikings did last week, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you're right. At least it's against a quality team, and maybe they could have almost lost to a different, you know, squad. But it says a lot that their offense, the way they've been built, beyond a couple of years with Luck, you know, in Harbaugh, the way they've been built, they don't come back from that kind of deficit, generally speaking. Now, like you said, they don't generally put themselves in that, you know, predicament, but that's impressive. And this may be, you know, a different type of Stanford team this year. If they win the next game, they could run the table or be a one loss for sure. They really could.
Yeah,
absolutely. A couple other games, you know what I mean? A couple other games that we're going to talk about. Old Dominion. This freaking guy, Blake LaRussa, comes off the bench, Marshall. Just throw four touchdowns and, what is it, 495. The first win in program history over a Power 5. Talking about thinking we're just going to come on in there and talent is going to rule the day. They scored touchdowns on their last four possessions, Marshall. 65 yards on each drive just to kind of dig in even more. This one was crazy, dude. You know, Virginia Tech actually looked pretty good this year. And going off that ESPN Football Power Index that we love to talk about, they had a 1.8% chance going into it. It was the largest upset by any FBS opponent in the metrics 14 years, you know, the 14 years. It's the biggest point spread
Wow.
of 2018, biggest point spread of 2018 as well. So, holy cow. And then speaking of Kentucky, another pretty big upset. They're now ranked inside the top 20, and I think rightfully so far. 28-7, completely smashing number 14 at the time anyway, Mississippi State. Mark Stoops, they got the Kentucky's 4-0, 2-0 in the conference, I think. They're 4-0 and off to their first 2-0 start. Listen to this shit. Off to their first 2-0 start since 1977. The first time they've graced the AP Top 25 since November 11, 2007. And just the second time since 1984 that they've been ranked that high. The last time they were ranked 17th was that same year, October 2007. It's crazy, dude. It is crazy, man. Unbelievable. Kentucky, man, I've been just kind of mentioning them, mostly off the point spread, and I did pick them in one of those upsets. It was the Florida upset. But, wow, dude, they're really putting in work. I got to give them credit. We got to give them credit where credit's due. Maybe I'm just tooting my horn for bringing them up, but fact is, dude, they're a team on the rise, and they're on the right side of the SEC. They could be second in the SEC on that side, which I definitely wouldn't have thought coming in. What are your thoughts on some things I just touched upon? And then let's dig in a little bit deeper. And another team that we've talked about improving this year, especially maybe some signs on defense, is Texas Tech with their young QB. They just dominated Oklahoma State. Like, we just talked about how good they looked against Boise State, and what do you know, 41-17 in that one. Let's talk about some of the things I just brought up, and then we'll get into games under the radar as well before we move to week 5, Marshall.
Yeah, one funny kind of story to wrap up the Vatek game was the Old Dominion quarterback who you said came in and had a fat game. His brother was a Vatek grad, and I saw his article online, and his brother was saying, "Dude, no offense, but I'm probably cheering for Vatek because that's my alma mater, unless you go in the game." And
you're right, I heard about that.
Says, you know, pretty much, screw your alma mater. I'm gonna dice them up. So I always thought that's pretty cool. It's weird how sometimes there's those stories in sports where you're like, what? Oh, that's kind of cool. Kind of, and just a cherry on top. But yeah, my God, what a shocking game. I mean, I remember that people said that the Vatek secondary was a massive weakness. I remember hearing that phrase so much going to that FSU game. And then they hold Florida State to, like, a really good win, and you're like, oh, maybe those young kids are pretty good. I think their young secondary finally got exposed, like, very, very deeply. moving on from that, though, not Texas Tech, but what was the other game you said? Sorry. I was just having a brain cramp.
What was the other game? Oh, Kentucky. Kentucky showing people, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm 4-0. It's the first time they're even 2-0 since 77, dude.
I think that, again, playing the coach's angle, because I believe some of the stuff is true. You know, it's not just the players, but a lot of times it's the things that go, the factors around the team. And I think the factor around this team is the fact that, hey, you finally beat Florida. Like, step one was, oh, my God, we finally beat Florida? Like, holy cow. Like, that hurdle's off our back.
Right.
Like, what do we do now? And you take – and so if this was, like, a Madden game, like, these guys are all playing higher than their ratings show. Like, if the quarterback's truly a 78, he's playing like an 88 right now because, you know, all the momentum is riding high. Yeah, the whole team is getting, like, bumped up in stats. Exactly. See, you get the monkey off your back of being Florida. Then you have a team who's been getting a lot of hype all year, as I said on our first show, in Mississippi State, that, you know, the hype's been warranted, but you smack them around. They were a 9 or 10 point dog at home. And so you flip that point spread and crush them. And I don't think there's a team that has more confidence right now in the country than Kentucky. No, obviously, if you put them on the field against Bama or Clemson, you know, good luck. Good, you know, see how it goes. But for the attitude and the momentum and the players' feelings, and the first time you've been, you know, ranked that high since, you know, basically your some of your coaches were probably born. Like, there's nothing slowing them down. And now they get a South Carolina team who was an easy bet to win money on this past weekend, Sandy. That was a very nice pick, easy pick. Now you got to face them. I mean, again, you maybe don't have the skill level of South Carolina, but your momentum, no one's matching it. So now I think at some point, as we talked about a few minutes ago, that momentum's going to come to an end. Like, I don't see Kentucky running the table. But I could see it going on for a couple more weeks, and they might finally come back to real life, Chris, and lose the game to, like, freaking Ole Miss or Vandy, or we're like, oh, why did that happen? It's like, well, you got to come back to realization at some point. But
yeah.
But I and I don't know their schedule. That's just hypothetical. But for now, I mean, dude, just keep going. Like, you beat Florida, which was just had to be, and especially for those seniors, you know, you always, you know, that's crap they've been hearing their whole career. Like, dude, you're never going to beat Florida. You guys are a joke. And you hear that, you know, on the local radio stations, local newspapers, probably from, like, people you go to college with, like, in your classes, like, oh, another year where we lose to Florida. And you get that done. So, man, I would not be betting against them anytime soon. Again, their skill level, this still is Kentucky. It's a basketball, you know, blue-blood college. But they're fixing things in the right direction. And that momentum is it's a scary thing in sports, Chris. A lot of times a positive momentum can make people play better than they, you know, than they believe they even could.
Yeah, that's a good call. And talking about Texas Tech, the young Bowen had another great game, 397, two touchdowns, did throw two picks, but something that kind of stood out to me was running the ball for 224 at a 4.9 clip and three rushing touchdowns. That's key. And beyond Hill, for Oklahoma State running the ball, they contained the run pretty well. And, you know, this Cornelius looked like we thought he was going to look against Boise State, for Christ's sakes. 18 of 38, 258, didn't really run the ball well at all. They had a bunch of fumbles, I think three turnovers or something like that. But, like I said, we knew that they could put points on the board. They got another young QB that's going to be there for a long time. And if they can just bring out an average defense, they can make some noise in the Big 12. There's just no way around it. There really is no way around it. Some other tight games, your squad, and we're going to get into our squads, USC, Miami, Minnesota, and some guy that coaches a Florida team. I don't know who the hell he is, but my co-host always brings him up. Couple of really good games. One of them was not Minnesota-Maryland, 42-13. You can't get down to an option team early. If you do, that's not a good look, and that's exactly what happened. And Winfield Jr., the stud safety/cornerback, is done for the season. So now that's three players that are, you know, we got about five or six studs on the squad. And a back-to-back weeks, we've lost the running back Smith and now Winfield Jr. Not a good look. They do have a bye. They got to lick their wounds. I really hope that type of butt-whooping doesn't happen. However, USC got the job done in a tight game. Really entertaining game last Friday, if I recall, 39-36. I also watched Cincinnati come back in what was a really fun game against Ohio. 34-30. I saw a little bit of that UNC Pittsburgh, 38-35. Actually, UNC and Miami are about to tip off here in a second. I said tip off, not kick off. I don't know what the hell I was talking about. And as far as the Miami front, Miami was playing a team that they should beat pretty handily, and they got to 31-0. Pretty deep into the game, and then they brought their second and third guys going against the number one team. They actually did end up giving up a turnover that set up a touchdown, and then they gave up a different touchdown and a little bit of a drive, all late in the game. But other than that, it was 31-0, whatever. But the point is, the quarterback has been an issue. Throwing off his back foot, just slinging it around as if he thinks he's a professional baseball player. I've mentioned that several times. He just doesn't believe in fundamentally throwing the ball time in and time out. And it's one thing if you're John Elway, but he's not John Elway. And he's been productive, don't get me wrong. But on the third series, the young Nikosi Perry, who's a redshirt freshman, got in the game, and he went off. He went like 10 of 11 right away. Ended up having good numbers that way, threw three touchdowns. And you can just see, as far as the system, the late 90s Florida State system, that's what Mark Richt ran with Charlie Ward and company. When you got a real runner, Rozier can run, but when you have a real threat at running back and you can pass, a real dual threat, then I think his system, Mark Richt's system, will come out and blossom a lot more. I think it's been a little contained. And, you know, quarterback play, but that's on him too because that's his quarterback. But we'll see who starts tonight or plays. They may play half and half, but the young Nikosi Perry, a lot of people like Florida State and some teams in the ACC are not going to like this kid. He's from Miami too, which is just awesome because I've seen so many Alabama and Clemson players and USC players from Miami, and I'm like, oh, he should be a Cane. So that's just kind of the front on our local teams. What'd you think of your squad getting that nice little victory, much-needed victory at this point in the season? It was an entertaining game, and then we can talk about some other games from week four. Otherwise, we should get kind of run through these week five predictions because there's a lot of them. And, of course, we got to get to the crafty pick as well.
Yeah. You know, Lane Kiffin did play Friday night along with USC. they put up 36, but UCF put up 56. I think Scott Frost definitely left UCF in a pretty good position. Where he's gone has not started off good at all.
On the year. That's really bad, dude. Holy cow. That sucks for him.
And USC, it was a game that was nice to win. Our defense seems to be maybe having not their best games now after they've had some struggles. Offense did just enough. They blocked a field goal late in the game to win 39-36. But they even had a drive later to get up late. I mean, it was a good win. Not overly impressive, but something. I wouldn't be surprised if USC has a new head coach next year. I do think with that job and kind of the name on the helmet that it's maybe higher expectations than given. And maybe this is one of the lesser talent teams we've had over a decade. But again, that whole Clay Helton being 1-11 as a coach against, as an underdog, like that's a little scary as a fan. You know, you do have to beat teams you're not supposed to as a coach, and that's something they've struggled to do. So I think it's fair to argue. So 1-1 for those squads and Mizzou. Honestly, their defense played phenomenal against Georgia, but there was lots of offensive turnovers, special team blunders, a call early in the game where a tight end from Missouri had basically been tackled by three people and was being picked up in the air and pushed backwards, and there was no blown whistle, so the ball got stripped and then ran back for a touchdown. That was how Georgia scored their first score of the game. And just there was one of those games where, as a fan, you kind of wanted to pull out your hair because defensively, Mizzou's defense played phenomenal. That's kind of been their weakness. But like I said, it was a careless interception or a missed field goal. It just there's too many dumb errors. Maybe they weren't as sharp as they could have been. And they lost 43-29. They did run the ball, like, really good on Georgia, which was, I guess, a nice piece to take away from the game. But nonetheless, it was a loss. And they start off the SEC 0-1. Again, like Mizzou, like USC, I think Odom is a coach that almost got fired last year, but then they had a garbage schedule and they were able to pound on teams to save him. But they could maybe be looking at another coach too, because Missouri, for a while there, was a pretty darn good program. The first 2 years they went to the SEC, they won their side of the conference. You know, and I remember going out to a bar one night to watch them play Auburn to win the SEC game, and it was a fairly respectable game. And we're only going back about 5 years for that. So since then, it's been kind of a rough sled. So I'm hoping for some type of resurrection. Coach O, we've talked about him every episode so far this year. This one's a little shorter breakdown, but they won 38-21 against La Tech. It wasn't a massively impressive win, I guess. But, hey, you freaking beat Miami. You beat Auburn. You know, you're going to have those games where, hey, it wasn't maybe the best one we've ever had fundamentally, but you won the game. So that's truly all that matters.
Quarterback still hasn't thrown a pick, too.
That like I said last, that dude's a gamer. I like him. You know, to go to what to go 3 out of 20 in that Auburn game, like for middle of the game, and then you come down and have a clutch game winning drive. Like not all quarterbacks have that mindset where you can just kind of step it up and say, hey, you know what, I've been cold, but screw it, it's time to lead my boys down the field for a touchdown.
I know one
time,
of them.
I guess
the Miami quarterback. He only likes to show up in the second half.
One game where, you know, to wrap up week four, that stats will mislead you is Arkansas-Auburn. Auburn won 34-3.
Yeah.
So that makes you think, they must have smacked them. Well, Auburn's quarterback was 15-22 for 134 yards. That's pretty bad. Arkansas was 13-31 for 141. So Arkansas outthrew them. They outrushed them 149-91. So Auburn had barely over 200 yards of total offense. And they just luckily won on turnovers. But it's incredibly weird to see a team get beat by 31, yet offensively, for the most part, had a better game. I just it's one of those things where you're like, if you bend the game, you're like, oh man, Arkansas must have put up a fight. Well, they only scored 3 points, but if you look at the box where you're like, dude, can someone explain this to me? What am I missing here? This doesn't make sense. You know, what part of this is tricky? But you know, hell, a win's a win. Again, you don't really complain about how you get them, Chris. But and yeah, I guess I don't. And to kind of put the cherry on top is that Michigan game. I saw that Michigan was a 17-point favorite. I'm like, my God. I'm like, Nebraska's going to come out with a punch like they need to. They've been getting ripped in the papers. It's the worst start they've had in a long time. Like, Nebraska's going to put up a fight. That game was 39-0 at half. So,
yeah, it was
I'm not
ugly.
Sure, you know, I'm not saying when we do our show 2 years from now, Chris, that Scott Frost won't have that thing kind of back in the right direction. But, dude, I mean, you've now been smoked 3 games in a row. And Michigan's offense hasn't exactly always been incredible. So they need a massive regroup phase of some sort. I don't know what it is, but holy cow. And as I mentioned earlier, South Carolina was a very nice, easy bet. I remember seeing that. I hope I did talk about it on the show. I have a feeling I did.
Yeah, you
did. They
were
a one-and-a-half.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, 1.5-point favorite against Vandy, and they won 37-14. So if you didn't make a bet of the week, man, that was taking money just from the bank easily, Chris. It was a nice win. You normally don't see those happen often, but now they're going up to Kentucky. So I'm not betting South Carolina this week. I'm staying away from that one, brother. I'm not going to roll the dice down in Kentucky and see what might happen.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Not to bet. Sometimes you got to know when to hold them and
sure.
Know when to fold them. So headed into week 5, whole lot of matchups. Number 4, Ohio State. Number 9, Penn State. That's at Penn State. Stanford, number 7 versus number 8, Notre Dame. Number 12, West Virginia, who's been really impressive this year, versus number 25, Texas. So this will be their third ranked team, Texas, that they've faced so far. Number 11, Washington versus number 20, BYU. Number 19, Oregon versus number 24, California. Let's start with the big one, or one of the big ones, I guess you could say, in the Big Ten anyway. On that side of things, it means a whole lot. Number 4, Ohio State at Penn's big matchup. Trace McSorley was a Heisman candidate and might still be, but Haskins has been outplaying him numbers-wise for Ohio State, and it's really not that close. It really isn't. Now, obviously, you know, a key injury, you know, is Bosa, the defensive end, Nick Bosa. You know, that's huge. He's out for a chunk of time. The guy's a stud. We know it runs in the family at the college level. How do you see this one breaking down? Penn State really hasn't had to face anybody yet this year. They've looked great in spots. I take that back. Game 1, they didn't look great against Appalachian State, who's okay, but they needed overtime to get that job done, but they did beat Pitt. They smashed D1-6, and ever since then, they've been looking good. How do you see this one breaking down? And is a guy like Bosa, a defensive stud, potentially enough of a difference to swing the balance to Penn State, not just a tight game and in you know home field advantage?
Yeah, you know, I think that maybe there's been a little bit of a change of pace of trying to replace Saquon Barkley. I mean, you know, they had their issues at the start of the year with App State. Their game against Kent State, which they did blow them out later, was pretty, like, sluggish and slow in the first half, or at least I think it was, like, tied at one point, like, 7-7 or 10-10 in the first, second quarter. So, you know, I think maybe they're trying to figure out how to do that and not have McSorley just throw the ball 40 to 50 times. And in fairness, Chris, that is something that will take time. I mean, you're losing a guy who in the NFL so far has basically made it look like he's been in the league for a couple of years. Like, you don't replace a talent like that very easily. So I get that standpoint. But with that being said, I got to go with Ohio State. I mean, again, they have a coach who I'm not a personal fan of, but the dude knows his stuff. You mentioned a D-line stud that's out. Unfortunately for Penn State, they still probably have, I think almost their whole D-line, or 3 out of 4 starters are all going pro. So they really don't have a worry as in not replacing him. I mean, maybe you're losing 1 5-star, but you still got a bunch of 4.5 stars right behind him, you know. And, again, you have coordinators who could both be head coaches. And you have an Ohio State quarterback who, for the first time in quite a long time, is more of a passing guy. Not that Ohio State hasn't passed before, but they normally kind of were like more like bigger built, meant to kind of run the ball a little bit and maybe a little more of a short passing offense. This dude, though, his numbers, he's just playing the ball everywhere. So I just think that with the change of pace of getting a new culture in Penn State, tasks and close games that you maybe didn't expect compared to a team that's loaded with a better offense than we've seen in quite a while, I can't pick against Ohio State. I gotta lean on the Buckeyes to win this matchup. Now, I will say this game has been super close for about the past 4 to 5 years. I think Penn State has caught up somewhat, Chris, to the talent Ohio State has. Not completely comparable, but they're the talent on the field isn't as different as it used to be.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. I like Ohio State too in a competitive game. I just think they're better overall. Defensively, I think they're better. Their offensive line looks like a couple of years ago, Texan thus far. I think that the fact that they've been in a tight game on the road and won it helps them a lot. Not to say that, you know, I mean, Penn State was in a tight game, but it was, you know, it's Appalachian State. So, you made a good point about this game has been, you know, tight or competitive, and I think it'll be the same. The over-under 70, I think it'll probably sneak under that, but I could see like 31 to 27, 34 to 30, something like that, but I'm with you. With Ohio State getting a W. Number 7, Stanford versus number 8, Notre Dame. And Notre Dame has Wimbush as a starter, but the backup came in, Book, I think his last name is. First start ever. Went for 325 and 5 total touchdowns. So obviously they got a little bit of depth. It was against Wake Forest, which is not, you know, they're not bummy by any stretch of the imagination. 5.5 points. I believe they're favored by 5.5. It is in Notre Dame, at Notre Dame. We know how that crowd is. In fact, right now, Vivid Seats, 281 left, 281 tickets starting at as low as 90. According to the ESPN's Football Power Index, your favorite index to track everything.
Oh, yeah.
67.2 in favor of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame in the Hunchback or whatever the hell the thing is. 32.8 on the other side. Unbeaten against unbeaten. How do you think this one's going to play out? It's the first top 10 teams have not squared off at Notre Dame since 2005. Kind of interesting.
Is that the push Reggie Bush game? It must, because I was a sophomore in college. That must have been
it had to be the
Reggie Bush push.
Yep.
God,
Reggie Bush.
It's crazy how my mind works.
Yep.
I can't remember crap for meetings from school, but man, you mentioned that, I can remember where I was in a parking lot. Oh my God, dude, I wish you could get a degree in sport knowledge, because I would have one. I'd have a freaking master's. But yeah, Reggie Bush push. Man, it's God bless sports. Aside from talking about my memory, looking at Notre Dame, you had a very, very good first half against Michigan. Okay, But then you beat Ball State by 8. Vandy was driving inside your red zone down 5, and you barely beat them. You smoked Wake Forest, who doesn't have a defense. I'm not quite sure what to make, Chris. What I just broke down doesn't seem like a team that's ranked 8th in the country. Now, I get they're probably ranked pretty highly coming into the season, but, I mean, you've played 2 quarters of great football against Michigan, and second half kind of coasted into holding on. And then you had one possession wins against Ball State and Vandy. So I got to pick Stanford. I mean, you know, Stanford's had a little bit of a tougher test. I'd say they've looked a little more impressive. I mean, all the games at home, but I'm going Stanford, man. If you've had to claw against Ball State and Vandy and Michigan just was on their best performance on week one, I can't take Notre Dame. I will gladly take the 5.5 points with Stanford. I would say probably have better offense, at least for sure have better running back. Defensively, I mean, numbers will tell you Notre Dame's defense is good, but again, they haven't really played anyone. So I'm leaning Stanford Cardinal.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they got a better quarterback as well. This is his second year as a starter now, Costello. They have skilled positions. They got a guy that kind of sets in spikes at tight end. He can set the ball to him and catch in traffic like he did last week that you pointed out. Basically everything you said, I'm right there with. Now, that's not to say that it won't be a tough game. I mean, I think it'll be a physical, one of the more physical games of the year if you look at style of play on both sides. Yeah, I just think there's more talent on Stanford. Now, they can't get down, you know, by 21 points, anything like that.
No.
So they got to watch out for that, of course. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Let's start comboing up a couple of these games because there's so many, and we are kind of running out of time here a little bit. Running out of time, but you know what I mean. We want to kind of tighten it up a little bit. So West Virginia it's Texas Tech. I think I screwed that up. I think I said Texas earlier. West Virginia and Texas Tech, and then can BYU, which is sneaky good, pull an upset against Washington? What do you think of those two games right there, buddy? Because West Virginia, Texas Tech is looking good, no doubt about it. But West Virginia has been pretty damn impressive, and they have a veteran QB at the helm, as long as he stays off PEDs.
I've always liked cheering for Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, I've done that every year on the pod, and I think that he's done a better job of saving himself a job this year because, again, he is on the hot seat. I would say that game they had against Oklahoma State was one of their best defensive performances since he's been their coach. I mean, that was on the road, and that was a phenomenal performance. The bad news is, and you're going home, and you know that 18-year-old stud, I don't know how he finds his quarterbacks, but he does. They're going to put up points against West Virginia. But you're now facing the best quarterback, arguably, in the Big 12. You're facing him this weekend. And Will Grier, I think he's just going to light him up. I mean, they're making progress, but they'll truly be tested. Now, I could see this game being, you know, 62-48 kind of game. Man, this would be a true step up for their defense. If you could find a way to beat West Virginia, and hell, Chris, even if that means if you win the game 47-52, then, I mean, your defense did enough. But,
yeah,
I think that they can build up what they did against Oklahoma State. But, man, Will Grier, that dude's for real. And he's got receivers there with him. So, any win you can get would be a great win for them, but hands are going to be full. So I'll pick West Virginia, but I'll be cheering for Texas for hell. I would pick the over, and I bet the over is just insane. What over is
72?
Wow,
72.
And Ohio State, Penn State, 70.
Yeah,
I would definitely take the over. Wow,
I would too.
Yeah, I. Go over for sure. And BYU-Washington, I'll go Washington. I don't know if BYU can pull off two crazy upsets in 3 weeks. I think that, wow, but Washington's minus 17. Oh, God, I'm not going to say it. I'll let you do it because I know we're going to go with that. But, yeah, I'll let you pick that one. But I would like a Washington win. I think there's too much on the plate for BYU to do it again. But, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. But what's your take on those games, Sean?
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it was only 2 points more than that Penn State game, like you mentioned. So I'd definitely go the over. I'm stuck on this one. This one is in AT&T Stadium. So that opens up, I believe, a chance for more West Virginia people to come. So I think it'll be about – I don't know exactly how they travel, but the noise they make at home – and during their – go ahead. What are you going to say?
Okay, well, here's the weird thing. I didn't know this either, but their field is named the same as Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I didn't realize that either, but it's in Lubbock. It's just they named their field the same name as Cowboys. I'm not sure why, to confuse us, I guess. But
oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, because that confused me earlier this year too, brother. I was like, wait, well, hold on. They have a home game. Why are they playing – oh, same name stadium.
Okay, and actually it's named Jones AT&T Stadium. At least that's what
sure.
It says here. So
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, if you blast that, you want things differently, sure.
Right. Well, I wouldn't bring up – well, I brought it up just because I thought they could pack more people in there. There'd be more tickets available, and all of a sudden, if you got an even, you know, playing field, that kind of drowns out beyond the travel anyway. That kind of drowns it out, but – this is one that I'm looking at, and I'm like, this might be the upset out of all these games. And I'd say out of the five rank versus rank, I think Washington will take care of BYU, but I definitely am going against the spread. I think BYU for sure can sneak under that 17. Thanks for saving that, because you know I've been riding with these Mormons for a while. So I think, yeah, I mean, as great as, you know, young, the 18-year-old Bowen, you know, Bowen has been, Will Grier is better. And they've already shown, you know, I just think they got a better coach. He's more experienced. This is a big game. I like where the point spread is, though. I think that's accurate. I do think it'll come down to the fourth quarter and whatnot. And there's going to be ebbs and flows where, you know, potentially West Virginia gets up by 14 or 17. And Texas Tech says, that's fine. How about this? And three plays later, it's a touchdown. So I like the over,
sure.
But I like Texas Tech. I like Washington as well, but I'm going to sneak under for the Utes. The Utes will get under that 17. I'm going to, you know, got to stay with them. And then one last rank versus rank, Oregon versus California. This one's tricky. Back-to-back, we saw TCU play really well against Ohio State and then drop the next big game they had. Really, really key game for both, obviously. California's undefeated. Big time. There's so many Pac-12 quality matchup conference games in September. Very, very impressed with that. And I suppose, well, yeah, they're up to, they have nine anyway. This one, I actually think will go over the 58 as well, the over-under at 58. I mean, I'm literally going down to the wire on this one. I think Oregon will win the game, but they'll have the ball last to do it. Whether that's, like I said a couple of weeks ago, whether that's kicking a field goal, having to score a touchdown, or the victory formation. I see Oregon finding a way to eat this one out in a little bit higher scoring game than what Vegas tells us.
Yeah, I remember last year, I think I picked this game, and I bet Cal, and Oregon's offense, when it was rolling, although it's a new coach here, so I guess that breakdown really doesn't matter. But Oregon beat them. And you could see there was a differential of skill and speed. I do think that Cal is going in the right direction. They got a coach everyone loves, I believe Wilson, and they're at home, so that helps too. And as you mentioned, to also help them is the fact that Oregon came off a tough loss. So I'm going to go with Cal. They're a minor. They're a minor underdog at home. They're plus 1.5. That might even get to like a pick them by kickoff. Who knows? But I'll take Cal. I just think that still up and coming. Oregon has more talent, but still coming off a tough loss. Maybe Cal can catch one at home. Cal did that to a couple of teams last year. I think they smacked a USC at home around a couple of games. So I'll take Cal at home. I mean, it's a pick 'em, basically. So Vegas says it should be a pretty good fight. But I'll switch it up with you, brother, and I'll take the Cal Bears to beat the Oregon Ducks in this matchup.
Yeah, that's a good look. That could get interesting.
And speaking of another one-point line now, again, one-point line. Kentucky and South Carolina. Again, if you believe in the momentum riding high, I think you almost have to bet Kentucky. I mean, South Carolina.
Are they at home?
They smoked Vandy. Yeah, they're at home versus South Carolina minus -1.
And they're getting a 1 at home. Just no respect. They just
they're
Calipari, at home. Dude. They hate Calipari.
Okay, South Carolina, they got smacked in the face by Georgia. And they came back and beat Vandy. I mean, this South Carolina team is that typical, they're a good team but not great, because when they do play the great teams, Bailey, the quarterback, just gets torched.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you don't take Kentucky. I mean, unless that momentum dies off, but, man, you beat Florida, Mississippi State, I don't see it dying off at home. South Carolina won me money last week, but this week I think Kentucky does. Because, I mean, I know South Carolina's maybe got Dave Samuels, they got some athletes, but Mississippi State does too. So I'm going Cats. I'll take Kentucky minus -1 at home. I think that momentum train keeps going for a little bit longer, Chris. And I think for South Carolina, you're kind of walking into just kind of a Kroger Field. And it ain't going to be that easy when they play in a couple of days, brother.
And another against the spread is Miami tonight. And by the way, Mark Richt didn't name a starting quarterback tonight. Kept them guessing all the way to the end. So either they're not going to start a quarterback, or they're trying to keep him guessing. My guess is he's trying to keep him guessing. But they're favored by 18.5. That's a lot. North Carolina is 1-2. I understand that. I do understand that. But this game has a way under this, the Larry Fedora, whatever the hell his name is. They have a way of just the last two games or three games has been really, really close with these two. I hope Miami wins. Obviously, I think they will ultimately, but to me, 18.5, well, let's just put it this way. If they win by more than 18, that really tells me they put that LSU performance to bed and moved on, which I obviously hope they do. But that's another one where you're looking and going, huh, okay, whatever you say, Vegas, whatever you say. And also Temple on the road at Boston College, 12.5, you may want to take a flyer on that one potentially. All of a sudden, the big matchup here, Old Dominion against East Carolina. We know East Carolina, as far as the non, you know, the group of five, what they say, they're a good club. They put up a lot of numbers over the last couple of years. That all of a sudden becomes an interesting game. Purdue and Nebraska, who's going to at least salvage some of their season. Utah and Washington State didn't look like a good game a couple of weeks ago. Now, to me, it does. I think Virginia Tech is going to bounce back, you know, from that Old Dominion horrific loss and beat a ranked 4-0, 22 Duke. They're favored by 4.5. I like Virginia Tech to knock them off as one of my upsets of the week as well. What else you got for me before we get into, well, you know what we're going to get into.
Yeah, I just saw this. TCU, Iowa State, I mean, it's if you're scrum flipping the watch on ESPNU, that won't be a bad game. I mean, TCU, their teams always play each other tight. So that would be, as you say, one of your barn burners. I mean, it's you get a decent game of football. And Texas goes to K-State. You know, will the Texas run continue? I mean, it's a team that a lot of people doubt they beat USC. A lot of people doubt they beat TCU. They're going to a place at K-State where they normally struggle to win. You know, I think if you can win this one, I mean, I think you're Herman's really making progress, because there was quite a bit of doubters from how they finished last year. They have no quarterback. Their quarterback sucked. Ellinger ain't good. And so far they've been proving people wrong. Now, again, a lot of that is credit to their defense, because their defense is sick. But, I mean, you've won two good games in a row, two very good games in a row. And now you go to a place where you normally don't win much. So if you win that, like, that Texas hype is getting, you know, is going to be a little bit more and more true. And I guess to wrap up, Florida, Mississippi State, Florida appears to be going back in the right direction with Franks. I've heard more positivity from Florida fans than I've heard lately. And Mississippi State, you got smacked by Kentucky, which probably has never happened in quite a while. And now you got Florida coming to your home stadium. So Mississippi ranks, they're ranked 23rd. So, you know, the year's not over yet. But how do they bounce back from, you know, from a 7-point performance at Kroger Field? I think that'd be a fun one to watch. You know, again, now, Florida, Mississippi State, and TCU, Iowa State aren't going to catch the eyes of many, but if you want to watch a good football game, not a bad choice. Oh, and that reminds me, Purdue, for another bet of mine, Purdue's going down to Nebraska. Purdue's -3.5.
Nebraska's
going to
get up
Purdue. If they do, so be it. I'm taking
Okay. So Nebraska's not going to get off the schneid. They're going to go 0-4.
I got them going 0-4. Yeah, so I got Purdue. I mean, they were tough. You know, their 1-3 record ain't good. But their three losses, again, were combined by 8 points. So it's not like they were getting smacked. But I think with their win off BC, they're going to keep it going. And I think Nebraska still is going to have some issues. So Purdue Boilermakers, -3.5, walk into Lincoln. I'm getting my states confused. Lincoln, and I got them knocking off Nebraska. I know a 3.5 points isn't exactly a huge bet, but I love them, and I love Kentucky, Chris. I got two teams, one at home, one on the road, that I both like to get jobs done for this weekend. Any other gambling lines that jumped out to you besides those and the fact that I love the Texas Tech-West Virginia game going over?
There is a win or go home in the Pac-12 here, USC and Arizona. They're both 2-2.
Ooh.
Loser leaves town in the Pac-12 right here. They need this to salvage their season. That's another, you know, hardcore barn burner in general. Will LSU come out and look as strong as they have against Ole Miss? Maybe Ole Miss can sneak up and snake bite them or make it tight. I doubt it though. That's about it. We should wrap it up and probably get to the crafty pick of the week.
Okay. I don't think I've ever put these teams in this situation, but the records aren't that great. The reputations really aren't that great. But we're going with some troops in our country. We got the Nevada Wolfpack, the Colin Kaepernicks. He went there, didn't he? Yeah.
He sure
Kaepernicks.
Did. Because remember, you and I, we'll watch that Boise State game in Vegas.
Yep, sport memory. The Colin Kaepernick's going against the Air Force Falcons. I didn't know. It's called Falcon Stadium. I suppose I maybe should have known that. But so we're going down to Colorado. We got Nevada against Air Force, Chris. Air Force is a -5 point favorite, over-under of 63.5. Air Force is 1-2 on the year. Nevada's 2-2. So this ain't Kansas and Rutgers. This ain't garbage. But, you know, the lower tier, good matchup, relatively close spread. We have a home favorite, so we're not giving you the typical road favorite. What do you see in this game taking place at the Academy in Colorado, my friend?
Did you see the score of last week's game, by the way?
What did you say?
Did you see the score of last week's game?
No, I was actually going to wait for you to tell me what happened.
I believe it was 27-20. It wasn't it 6 points on the road?
Yeah. It was 6 for 5.5. Yeah.
Yep.
And so we're 2-0.
You know who got off the schneid? I got off the schneid before Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
I got off
Let's
the schneid
go.
Before
Let's
Nebraska,
go.
Bitches. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
Put
Let's
the
go.
Money on me. I'm back at the game, baby. I'm back in the game. I'm sick of those.
Amen.
I'm sick of those Texas A&M September starts where you look like a stud and then you fall apart down the stretch. Those last couple of years where I started 6-0, 7-0, I was just doing the Aggies, dude. That's all I was doing. Now I'm back. I'm gonna just win out. This wasn't an easy week for you. It wasn't an easy week. I noticed that when I was looking through. I was like, wow, there's actually a lot of good games. There's not too many just scrub games. However, can Kaepernick play defense? Because they freaking need him in Nevada. They're giving up almost 40 points a game. The good thing is, though, they're scoring 41. This is like the NBA with a lot of teams. Oh, I put up 41, but I give up 40. So, yeah, it's going to be a tight game. let's see here. Let's break this down a little bit.
Now,
so, Nevada
lost. Since Kaepernick's now sponsored by Nike, could that bring extra money into Nevada alumni category, therefore, like, better jerseys and equipment? Can we get the Nike money flowing in from Kaepernick, like, ASAP? Does it work that way? I'm not sure. If I can see that being an angle, Chris.
It could potentially, but then again, you got to remember the military, because you know everybody wants to make it about the military and not about what it's about.
Ooh,
he's playing the Air Force, dude, and it's in Falcon
Stadium. Ooh, this could get ugly.
There's only three.
This.
Yeah, it's gonna get real
this
ugly.
This is a soap opera.
Vivid seats, three. There. It starts at $6 a pop. For 377 tickets left at, you know, through Vivid Seats, we always like, that's the sponsor, without them knowing, that's the sponsor. So, yeah, you got Kaepernick against the military in this one. Holy cow. This one could get interesting, and obviously, we're bringing up Kaepernick in a fun way, and we're bringing up the military in a fun way. We stand.
Absolutely.
Actually, you know, I'm with both of them. I stand with both of them, Kaepernick and the military. Yes, that is possible out there, people. I know it's hard to believe for some people, but that is possible.
Yes.
Stand for both of them. Air Force lost a tight game to Utah State, but they're not a joke. FAU, they lost to FAU. That's kind of a surprising loss, actually, now that I think about it. Wow, dude, this one, you see me trying to buy time? I mean, I'm sitting here tap dancing. I really don't know, but what I do know. Go ahead.
There wasn't that game served on a platter where it's like garbage against garbage. I'm like, I don't got my Kansas Rutgers.
Right.
I'm like, I got to find like a lower tier game. But again, this game isn't like garbage. It's just teams. I had to find something with a decent spread, and this was it. So, yeah, you're a little bit of a tough spot, brother.
It's run against pass, okay? Air Force cannot pass the ball, and they can't protect the pass whatsoever. They give up 290 a game, and they throw 113. However, I'm assuming there's still an option offense. They're averaging 288. You know, Nevada can run the ball pretty well, especially with Cap, you know, the dual threat. 290,
yep.
they're passing it, though. God, run versus – okay, home team, they're not going to let Cap beat the military. The powers that be are not going to have that go. I'm going to go with the run game, time of possession down the stretch. Somehow, some way, the home team gets the job done. Air Force beats Nevada. They're only 1-2 right now, so this is actually a stretch. Oh, man, this is a good game, though, dude. Yeah. I'm going with the Air Force. Sorry, Cap. I'm going with the Air Force. Listen, while I'm doing this, I'm taking a knee, but I'm going with the Air Force. How's that?
I love that because I'm with you. I love the military, and I'm behind him too. Agreed. What we always talk about our adopted son, the team we love to root for, our Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Speaking of taking a knee, I'm going to say some prayers for them this week, Chris. They are a 43-point underdog. Do you have any idea what stadium they're walking into this weekend?
I do not. I actually am off the page now, too. This is all just fun. I'm like a listener right now.
It's a city that most people in college football may know. It's called Tuscaloosa. It ain't exactly a fun road trip to go on. For our Raging Cajuns, I have two expectations. Try not to get 48 points hung on you in the first half, and try to get us one touchdown. If we can get a final score of like 56-10, I would take that as a win. Now we're not going to cover, but I'm looking for moral victories, boys. Moral victories for Raging Cajuns. You know, those fans, they're used to good food. Now they get good food and a good environment. Maybe this can be a game where we can realize, hey, this is what we can aim for in Raging Cajun land to develop a culture like Tuscaloosa. But when you're a 43-point dog and you're going to play Tua Tagovailoa, like, just boys, just give it your best effort. That's all we can ask for being supporters this weekend. Man, that's going to be a beatdown. I'll make sure to
that's
break that game down next week. But,
that's all we want.
That's
all we want.
Get us one touchdown. Hey, if you can play better than Ole Miss they did against them, then maybe you're better than Ole Miss. You know, there's always ways to spin a story. But just put up a good fight, boys. That's all we can ask for.
And real quick,
and on that note,
before we get out of here.
Go ahead.
Before we get out of here, hold on. Nikosi Perry is the starting quarterback, and on the first play of the game, he hits Mike Harley for a 28-yard pass play right in stride. Just so you know.
There you go. Something positivity. Get that momentum going. In our neck of the woods, if you are a Vikings fan, because I know a lot of people back home, say some prayers for Everson Griffin. A lot of times, sport fans, I think we occasionally forget.
A lot of misinformation out there too. A lot of these stories have been retracted. The latest one was Trey Wayne's house. He didn't go in the house.
Yeah, sometimes the fans, you forget that the person you're cheering for is really no different than you. They're just more athletically gifted. And I think sometimes as a fan base, you're like, dude, why aren't you here to let my team down? What's wrong with you? Well, they're the same regular people that tie their shoes and put their pants on the same way we do. That's why my dad is really huge on autographs. It's like, we can go to baseball games, but, the guy signed the ball for you, he's a regular guy just like you. So hopefully he gets the help he needs and can get better, because hearing stuff like that kind of reminds you, where everyone's got their personal battles, and he's going through something now, so hopefully he can get some help and get back on track, because he is an incredible, talented player, phenomenal, from USC, But hopefully he gets back to going in the right direction. Finish on a good note. Again, enjoy the football. There's maybe not a huge, huge game this week that really stands out to you like Bama-Auburn, but as Chris said, there's a ton of, B-plus games. Maybe no A game this week, but lots of B-plus. And I'm good with that. And maybe we'll get some type of crazy upset again with Old Dominion and Vatek. I'm not sure the point spread, but, yeah.
Anytime you can get two top 10 team matchups, I'd say that's pretty good.
Amen. And, hey, man, we'll see. Can Texas Tech play defense again? I'm bending the over, but maybe they could still get a W. So join us next week. We love the people that are always listening. Hopefully take Chris's bet to the window. He honestly is hitting about a 70% clip every year. Until then, the boys are out. Have a good night. Peace.